autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, continuing my conversation this morning with Steven Arante. Hey, Steve, glad you could be here.
Very happy to be here. Thank you.
You know, Steve, where we left off, the kind of subject matter was understandably and inevitably kind of profound and esoteric, but at least when you talk about it, but when you experience it, it seems very natural and very easy to access once you're able to kind of get into that space, if you will. But, you know, let's spend a moment. I think for a lot of listeners, including myself, it's useful to parse out the differences in the language, perhaps the difference between, you know, mindfulness, meditation, and yoga, because for a lot of us, they kind of converge and conflate. Maybe you could just take that apart a little bit for us.
Sure. Yoga is very accepted in American culture. It's a physical form of relaxing the body and allowing ourselves to be in tune with the inner vibration. It's something that many people find to be very therapeutic from a physiological standpoint, but they're starting to also recognize that it takes them away from thinking. You're focusing your attention on the now. How does my body feel? What is my breath? How does this particular position feel? What are the energies? What are the vibrations? Everything is vibration. So yoga has been very accepted because people are used to physical exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, mindfulness is more about the presence and awareness. You don't need to be physically doing anything, or you could be at work practicing mindfulness. It's being in tune with what's happening in the present moment. Mm-hmm. What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What is happening outside of me? What is my current state of emotional being? And just being aware of all those things combined, synchronicity. The meditation is the actual practice of detaching from analytical thought, aware that it's there, but rising above it and entering into the calm space, the heart center. That's why we made reference earlier that your heartbeat and your breath are your two most vital life sources that mm-hmm. just happen. You're just paying attention to them. And when we pay attention to them and bring our focus inward, we can find this level of ease and this level of calm. And people utilize meditation to recognize their inner being. And all too often, you mentioned earlier before we left, we look outside of ourselves for satisfaction and for answers, when the key is to really look inward. Because in that state of calm and in that state of inner peace, in that state of heightened alertness, do we really come to a full embodiment of who we are, body, mind, and soul, sure. Spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. And meditation is something that has tremendous benefits in all four of those areas. And more people are starting to get involved. The biggest problem that most people find, and I hear, is that they can't stop their mind from thinking. So we teach them how to redirect and shift their awareness back inward so that they can detach from analytical thinking and just feel their way through.
You know, it's interesting to me, Steve, that as profound as this conversation becomes, there really is a lot of empirical support for some of the benefits that we're describing now. I mean, you know, heart science now mm-hmm. around the effects on reduced rumination, on stress reduction, mm-hmm. on greater focus and less emotional reactivity. And, you know, the time constraints of the show don't allow enough time to really go into great detail, but mm-hmm. I've done some of the homework and looked at some of these studies, and I can tell you there really is precedent now for this conversation, mm-hmm. and it's being borne out in the literature, especially in scientifically empirically reviewed studies. So I think it's important for people to know that when you did the hard work of parsing out the difference between meditation, mindfulness, and yoga, there was though one at least connecting thread that I'm hearing over all seem to have an effort to stay in the moment. And there are certain words that come out over mm-hmm. and over again, words like vibration mm-hmm. and rhythm, mm-hmm. And words that would necessarily come close to that, the very beat mm-hmm. of light, life. Well, that was interesting. And the rhythm of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So even though the approach in yoga might be more physical, mm-hmm. there's still a shared intention. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. All three of those modalities and our overall goal should be to attain a higher state of being. As humans, and when we're in our egoic self, in our task-driven self, we're constantly doing, thinking, from the moment we wake up till we go to sleep. And there's rarely ever any gaps in or space with that. And because everything is energy, and oftentimes, as you mentioned earlier, the research is upwards of 50,000 thoughts per day that we're having. 80% of those thoughts are repeated from yesterday or the week before, which are task-driven things and limited feelings sure. about oneself. And most of those thoughts are negative. So when we utilize our ability to exercise mindfulness, meditation, and or yoga, we're entering within so we can experience what it's like to just be.
Absolutely. And I think a phrase that you used bears some repeating in the focus on the non-ego-driven self. I think there's good reason to believe, and some interesting studies suggest that really only about 7% of mental energy is utilized to navigate conscious mental life, you know, being aware and going through our day and, you know, daytime and evening and watching the news and getting through our day and working and playing, but only about 7%. So what is the mind doing with all that non-ego drip when we sleep and the ego goes away?
That's right.
And all of this other mental energy and activity happens? I think as a field, the field of psychology, mm-hmm. Certainly the field of around meditation and mm-hmm. and metaphysical interests are just beginning to understand that there's much that we really need to kind of explore. And I think this is also a movement in that direction as well. I will say, Stephen, I think you already know this, that the field of psychology and certainly the field that supports people with autism is very left brain driven. What do I mean by that? It's analytical. Yeah. It's right. It's very logical.
Excellent.
But this speaks to a little different part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to know that the autistic community and other populations, even in some levels of what we would consider mental illness, are actually human beings experiencing things on a higher, more present moment awareness level. And with the amount of research that's being done and support, as a director of DDI yourself, I'm sure you realize that there are varying levels of stages of autism, and there are such beautiful, wonderful, enabling things. And I guess the more and more I study this myself, it's not a disability, it's an ability to reach higher levels of consciousness and mm-hmm. awareness of being, of life, of love, of sharing. That's very, very nice, and it's appreciated.
Well, you know, well, just I just want to be clear. My role at DDI isn't quite as big as that. I'm a psychologist and a principal trainer, but my passion is to move that dial with DDI in the right direction. I think one very important reason why I'm so happy to have you here, Steve, is that I think the work that you're involved in offers another tool by which the staff who support our population can manage their stress mm-hmm. and self-regulate. Mm-hmm. As I said, you know, in our last show, we discussed largely the implication of mindfulness for people who are on the spectrum, mm-hmm. but it has such important promise for our staff. Because they have, you know, let's face it, this is very challenging work, mm-hmm. and you take a lot of that home with you if you're not careful.
That's right.
And if you can self-regulate mm-hmm. in a way that's healthy and is a little more than distraction,
right.
then you may be onto something.
The self-regulation. So it's either group meditation, certain meditative practices at home, or self-regulating on a regular basis. Take a 30-second break and just breathe. Take a 45-second break and just breathe. Just be in that state of being, and it readjusts our level, whether you're teacher or a parent or an employer or a student. It really doesn't matter. It's about gaining that level of balance and ease.
And my guest is Stephen Taranty. I'm Dr. Michael Romas. You're listening to 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its vulnerable community. Some practical strategy around how to self-regulate and stay in the moment without limiting your path to simple distraction. This is a little greater journey. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.